let's go ahead and call the March monthly meeting of Fauquier County Quorum Court to order. Just a note before we begin, our live stream is not functional today. I think, as far as I know, since I've been here, it's the first time that's happened, but technology does happen sometimes. We will have the audio recording for anybody who needs that or requests that later. And so at this time, if you would stand with me, please, Justice Coates is going to lead us in the invocation of the pledge.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and ask that you bless each family that is represented here. We ask that you give each one of the justices and the county officials the wisdom that we need to do the best that we can for our county. We also ask that you be with all of the people that are serving our country overseas, our law enforcement officers, and all of our first responders that put their lives in danger for us every day. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Madam Secretary, if you call the roll, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Coates.
Present.
Grady.
Present.
Kendricks.
Here.
Knight. Lahosky. Lyon.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Roberts.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Thank you, and that's 11 and 13. I will note this is spring break week for a lot of folks, so I anticipate that may be while we're down a couple. Next on the agenda, we have approval of the journal. If members of the court, if you'll look in your packet, tab number one has got last month's journal proceedings. And I'll accept the motion to approve as presented.
Motion to approve the journal.
Okay.
Second.
And second. Okay, any additions or deletions? Let me know if you need a second to review those. Hopefully we've looked over those and see no changes. All right, seeing none, all in favor of approving the journal as presented, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, journal will be approved as presented. Next on our agenda, county officers report. I see our sheriff and Chief Deputy Woolley. Do you guys have a sheriff's report this month?
Yes, sir.
Recognize Sheriff Tim Rock.
Judge and court, at Unit 1, our capacity is 118. We averaged 189 for the month of February. Our Unit 2 facility is 218. We averaged 204. Our female capacity is 88. We averaged 87. Our juvenile capacity is 16, and we averaged 16. We took in 515, and we released 411. Our average Arkansas Department of Correction inmates that we housed was 87, and I think I checked the count today, and it was in the 90s, up to like 90. Total numbers of calls to going to patrol, total number of calls to dispatch was 2,303. Total number of calls to the Fauquier County Sheriff's Office is 1,703. Number of violent crimes, 76. Number of thefts and criminal mischief was 43. Animal calls, 58. Animal violations, we were 5 citations. And our reserve unit hours for our reserve deputies, they spent 626 hours in the month of February. That's amazing. Criminal investigation division, we assigned 50 cases. Cases closed was 15. Open cases is 35. And our transport, we had total trips was 79. Total miles was 11,091. And total cost at $13,999. And unless you have questions, that's all I have.
Any questions for our sheriff? Sheriff, I'd like to ask you to just give just a briefest overview of the terrific, I believe, early harvest operation. Of course, I saw your press conference yesterday, and I think it'd be worthwhile for you to update Quorum Court and tell folks a little bit about law enforcement presence.
Okay, I don't have my notes with me, but You know what? Over the last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we initiated this operation. We had joined at the hips with not only our local law enforcement with Conway PD and Greenbrier and Mayflower, but surrounding counties, also the U.S. Marshals, the Arkansas State Police were heavily involved. We did a three-day operation where we arrested, we had targeted about 60, I don't know the exact numbers, but it was 60-something that we targeted. We wound up arresting 58, I believe it was, of the most violent offenders in Faulkner County. So that was a major, major operation that occurred and took place. And we did it in cooperation and working hand-in-hand with our local and our state and our federal agencies. So we got a great rapport, great relationships. The Colonel of State Police was down yesterday. The U.S. Attorney was down. And now we just got to find some words to put on.
Any questions for the sheriff? I will say that's impressive, and if you're like me, here's the court, your problem family members asking, what in the world are the helicopter all the law enforcement around everywhere of every kind, and our sheriff's department was right in the thick of it in reserves as well. I spoke with Commander Tyner today and ran into him, and he was certainly proud of his folks, and I know that you are too, Sheriff.
Absolutely.
But, you know, two things we see out of that right there is getting bad guys off the street, deterrence from future crimes. And I tell you what, folks that plan to commit certainly violent or any other type of serious crime, they know that that operation happened. So thank you.
We had a lot of comments from the public. You know, I asked them what was going on, and we let them know. And so maybe, you know, for a little while, people could sleep a little easier at night time. So.
It's confidence instilling. It's company.
Yeah. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you,
Judge. Court, thank you.
Sheriff Tim Riles. So, next, our county clerk, your report has already been prepared.
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
Yes, sir.
Next, we move to our treasurer, Mr. Treasurer Scott Sampson.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me to summary statements before court, January 1st through February 29th, 2024. County General Fund 1,000, $3,939,687.08. County Road Fund 2,000. $4,550,128.24. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $5,314,283.08. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,533,446.43. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $2,824,930.83. Coronavirus Relief 1005, $927,505.08. American Rescue Plan Fund 3046, $9,347,305.20. If you'll turn me to page 2, you can see with the line there that our county general revenue is exceeding the 2023 numbers at this point. And page 3 is our sales tax. Sales tax for February is $1,388,615.93. That was 5.35% above February of 2023. And we are currently running 23.06% above 23 year to date. If you flip me to page 4, total tax collection for this year is $2,940,634.20. We're at 22% of projected. What I do want to mention to everyone is we have updated the projected revenue for 2024 from $13 million to $13.5 million. And it's indicated there. Quickly to page 5. As you can see, the 3-month moving average is still really high, and that's off of the January anomaly that we had. The 1-year moving average is kind of leveled off just a little bit, but that's all coming from that big January number we had. Are there any questions?
Any questions for the treasurer?
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Sampson. Next, we have the ARP and Road Report. Administrator, ARP Administrator, comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to call your attention to the pages 1 through 3. Again, that's the section for completed projects. If you'll note on page 5, we started a new section. It's the revenue loss fund projects. So as those are appropriated, we'll include those to the list that we started. On page 6, Greenbrier Wastewater, we had a pre-contract meeting that should be getting underway in the next couple of months. Once those expenditures started, it'll go pretty quick because of the price of the equipment. Our money's going to be used to purchase these rather large pieces of equipment. We've got a meeting upcoming with the mayor of Mayflower to kind of get an idea of what they plan to do going forward with their project. They were trying to get monies from the state. I'm not sure. I'm hearing mixed messages on that. Some people say that's still going. I've heard that that's not the case. So we're trying to clear that up to make sure that they are on track to spend their money by the end of 26. On page 7, Volney Mount Vernon Emergency Pump Station. I said last month they were a month or two away. They ran into a little problem with energy. Energy thought they could service the electrical needs without crossing under the road. They've since determined they're going to have to bore under the road to get transformers powered up on the side of the road where the project is. So now they estimate 3 months for completion on that project. Unless there's any questions, those are the highlights of the ARP report.
You guys fine?
Absolutely.
If you don't mind, Mr. Anson, the Conway Corp lower his water shows 100% complete.
Yes.
With $330,000 remaining. Does that money come back or does it stay?
Yeah, we will have to reappropriate that by the end of this year.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. Mr. Anderson, road report.
If you'll turn to the road report, the only line item we have for this report is Scenic Hill Road. There's 3.5 miles of overlay done. We're currently looking at Caney Creek. We're doing some work there with some overlays. We have Rogers Group right now. They're going to get busy with their highway road work in a few weeks, so we're trying to get as much out of them as we can before they leave. And we're working to prepare the roads ahead of that, taking care of collapsed culverts, potholes, and the like before we overlay. Subject to any questions, that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions for Mr. Anderson? Justice Wyatt.
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Anderson. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judge. Could I ask a couple questions on a couple projects that we haven't talked about in a few months?
Sure.
If you don't mind. Mm-hmm. Any updates on the Elliott Road interchange with Highway 25?
That's with the Highway Department. We're awaiting word from them still, and it's been stuck there for a while, but we're still awaiting word from the Highway Department.
Okay. I guess Skunk Hollow and then the roundabout on 25, same situations.
Yes, that is, the Highway Department knows our intentions on that and they're looking at it, and it's sometimes they're slow to get back to us.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom, if I could.
Yes, sir.
The Lake Conway Wastewater Utility here, it says 23% complete. Do you have any update on that?
The biggest expense on that has been the purchase of land and rights of way and easements. They are going to bid that later this spring, and they say they're on track to complete it by the end of 26.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering if we have a report on the
animal shelter. I would defer to somebody else, maybe Justice Coates, on that.
She will, if you could, Justice Grady. I'm sure our Courts of Public Safety Chairman will be bringing that up for sure. Hope to address your questions then. Any other road questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Tom. All right, that completes the County Officer's Report section of our agenda. Next is standing committee reports, and Justice Knight is not here. I assume he is on, I didn't talk to him personally, but I assume he's on spring break with his children. And so we'll move along to Courts and Public Safety, Justice Coates.
Thank you, Judge. Courts and Public Safety did meet last week for committee, we discussed the appropriation for the detention center, the cameras on the, for the detention center. We're going to discuss that a little bit more later tonight. That did move to full court. We also discussed Resolution 2401, which is a pro-life resolution that Justice Allison brought forth, and that also will be before the full court tonight. And then proposed Resolution 2402, which is an LESO decision notice. Justice Gray, I also want to answer any questions that you have about the animal shelter. It has been moving forward. The RFQs for the operating groups that were interested, that was, those were sent out. We have not heard back on those. Administrator Higgins, you want to give us an update on where we are there?
Yep, so a couple of updates. The RFQ has closed. We did receive the applicants, and that is under review with the county judge at this point. He'll be awarding that in the near future. The contract for the animal shelter, actually the construction, has been finalized and signed by both the contractor and the judge, and it's been filed with the county clerk's office. Is that one good to follow with?
Yes. It should be, yes.
Yeah, it's been filed. I saw the stamp one today. I actually met with a contractor on Monday, which was our estimated start date, gave them the key to the building, and they're ready to start.
Great.
So we're good there.
All right.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Administrator Higgins. Any other questions for Chairman Coates, of course, Public Safety Committee? Thank you for that report, Justice Coates. Next, we will go to the Budget and Finance Committee, and I'll note that Justice Lahosky is out. I believe he's out on personal business and may have something to do with spring break, I guess, but Justice Moss stood in the Budget and Finance Committee meeting, and you have a report for us today?
Thank you, Judge. Yes, Budget and Finance met. We have four ordinances tonight for discussion.
Thank you. And the Personnel Personnel Committee, Justice Kidder?
Judge, Personnel did not meet this month, and we don't have a report for the court. Thank you.
Very good. That completes the Standing Committee Reports section. Next, we move on our agenda to public comments. Anyone in the audience have any comments regarding anything for the court today? I know that we have light attendance today, so... Seeing none, yeah, spring break, our clerk mentions. Next section, special reports. I'm not aware of any. Are there any special reports by anyone? All right, we will have an announcement. We'll hold off our eclipse discussion until the announcements section. I think we'll go ahead and crank these ordinances out, ordinances and resolutions, but... Just know we will have a discussion on the eclipse. This will be the last monthly meeting before the total eclipse. Expected to be April 8th. All right, moving right along. Any old business come before the court? Seeing none, we'll move to new business. We've got several ordinances and resolutions. Turn to tab number 3 and you'll see proposed ordinance 24-06, and it's an appropriation ordinance. That's tab number 3. Do we have a motion?
Your Honor, I make a motion to put proposed ordinance 2406 on the table for discussion.
Second.
All right, motion second. So, Counselor, could we have a reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 24-06, sponsored by Budget Finance, be enacted by the Court of Court, County of Baltimore, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Baltimore County Ordinance 23-36, dated November 21st, 2023, and to declare an emergency.
All right, members of the court, any questions on proposed ordinance 24-06? In fact, I guess, Justice Moss, do you mind giving us a brief paraphrase?
Yes, Judge. This is just our standard monthly appropriation.
Any questions of the members of the court?
I have a question just about Section 4 with the appropriation for emergency pay. Is there any insight that somebody can share with the court on that?
Tom, if you would. Road Administrator Tom Anderson.
That's for the road department, the emergency response we have. We load that up every year when we do our budget, and we burn through it, and we're just replenishing that amount for the next disaster. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Seeing none, if we have a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lyon. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. All right. Motion carries. Ordinance passes. Next, we move to tab number 4. Just as you'll find, proposed ordinance 24-07. It's also an appropriation. And Justice Moss, I would entertain a motion.
Thank you, Your Honor. I make a motion to place proposed ordinance 24-07 on the table for discussion.
Second.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second, Counselor.
Ordinance 24-07, sponsored by Budget Finance, be enacted by the Coroner Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 22-63, dated December 20th, 2022, and to declare an emergency.
All right. Justice Moss, could we get a brief synopsis?
Yes, sir. This is just our period 13 from last year.
This will be our final cleanup for 2023.
All right, so let's close out. It can be confusing. I see a number is bubbling, but we're managing two budgets. We've got to have two budgets this time of year, last year and this year. So this will be the last closeout. All the bills that come in, finally, and this time of year, we close that last year's budget out for good. So that's what's going on here. Any questions for Justice Moss or anybody else in the budget committee? Seeing none, if we could have a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. All right, motion carries. Ordinance 24-07 is enacted. Next, we have tab number 5, proposed ordinance 24-08. This is ARP carryover. Justice Moss.
Your Honor, I make a motion to put proposed ordinance 24-08 on the table for discussion.
Second.
Okay, motion second. So, Counselor.
Proposed ordinance 24-08, sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee, be enacted by the Coroner Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 23-36, dated November 21st, 2023, and to declare an emergency.
Members of the Court, do you have any questions regarding this?
I was just hoping for a general explanation. The language of this seems pretty uniform, and I think I can imagine what it's for, but someone could just kind of explain. It's the first time I've quite seen something like this. Okay.
Thank you. Administrator, ARP Administrator, comments.
When we passed the budget, we kept track of what was spent on these projects from that time until the end of the year through period 13. And so we adjusted the overall budget so we wouldn't over-appropriate. Basically, we're subtracting the amount from the appropriation at the budget time last year with what was spent throughout the rest of the year. And that's the new amount.
So the what's in there now is appropriated?
It matches the original appropriation so that we don't overspend the original appropriation.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
That makes sense. Good question. Any other questions? All right, seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Excuse me. And the ordinance passes. Next, we have tab number 6, proposed ordinance 24-09. It's also an appropriation regarding the Sheriff's Office and jail.
Your Honor, I make a motion that we place ordinance 2409 on the table for discussion.
Second. Okay. Motion and second, Counselor.
Proposed ordinance 24-09, sponsored by Justice Mary Coates, be enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Fulton, State of Arkansas. An ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Fulton County Ordinance 23-36, dated November 21st, 2023, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, Justice Coates, if you could give us just a brief synopsis. I know you need to be careful with your language here, because this involves security, and for obvious reasons, I suspect Justice Coates won't go into a great amount of detail. So if any of the members of the court see some cryptic language, feel free to ask questions at the appropriate time, but we'll be keeping a close eye on the questions and making sure that we don't make the sheriff's job much tougher.
Thank you, Judge. I'm really going to turn this over to Sheriff Ryle so he can give us a little bit of an explanation. It is a camera overhaul update for our Unit 2 detention.
Thank you, Justice Coates, and Judge, and Court. Thank y'all very much. And I started out when we spoke last week. I just want to thank the entire court for your attention to public safety in Faulkner County. It shows. It's making a difference. We're hearing it out in the county, and I just want to say, number one, is thank y'all for that. You can imagine how important and how vital body cameras are for us, and we were able to ascertain and equip our deputies with body cams. We did that through a grant process months ago. We have got that up and running. And in our detention facility here at Unit 1, we upgraded some cameras there that was absolutely had to happen. We were able to do that several months ago. We still have some work to do there. Our Unit 2 facility is well over 20 years aged. It's analog. It's not digital. We have a lot of areas in our facility there that a lot of the cameras are deteriorating, and it is a vital essence that we have that camera footage for FOIAs, for federal court. When we show up for federal court, we want something that we can actually go before a jury and the judge and be able to show what occurred and not be guessing what occurred. That protects not only the inmates, which is very important, it protects our detention officers, and it protects our county as a whole. And we are at a point where we need a major upgrade to that camera system, that old analog camera system that is there currently. So, Justice Coates was graced us with her presence today, walked through. We showed her some of the, here's what it looks like, here's what it should look like after we actually toured the facility over the Justice Building, who just got upgraded with cameras in that location for security purposes. And so that's our ask, and if there's any questions and any more detail, I actually have my chief deputy, Chad Woolley, that is here. I've got Captain Chris Watkins, our jail administrator, who is here. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe we have some samples of video footage and some photo shots, particularly of what we're looking at over there and what our issues actually are for you to be able to bear witness to if we have those. Do we not have them? Did we not bring that? Oh, okay. Well, we showed it during our committee meetings. So, unless there's any questions, that's all. That's kind of the footprint that we're looking at.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Any questions from the court?
If I may, Judge.
Justice Lyon?
I was kind of saying this may come off as very critical, and I don't mean to be critical. With this amount, I'm all for it. Obviously, these need to be upgraded. Is there going to be an operation plan to hopefully make sure this doesn't happen again, where we get to technology that's so outdated that it requires such a big overhaul? I mean, just as far as maintaining upgrades on cameras. Again, I know it sounded critical. I'm just, so we don't get to the same situation where we're using very outdated cameras, I guess, and doing a much-needed upgrade sooner as we can.
Yeah, you know, and even at the Justice Building, we had the same issue. And so we have a scenario there that I think will answer the question of exactly what we will be getting if afforded this opportunity and this funding. And I think if Randy Higgins doesn't mind, he can kind of explain what that looks like moving forward.
I would also interject that Administrator Higgins' professional career has been devoted to this very subject, and he's as much of an expert as there is out there, and so we're really fortunate to have him. And the relationship that we have with the Sheriff's Department over in the Judge's Administration, I would describe it as being as good as it could possibly get. And I stay really comfortable with that relationship and the eyes that are on it. And we've got a former sheriff also who is on our court and understands the challenges with that, the enormity of it, the importance of it. So I would just say I can't stress out personally, I believe, the importance of this is, and it's good that it's here for the court. So having said that, Administrator Higgins.
So, Judge Lyon, good question. I'll state that the Unit 2 was one of the, being 20 years old, was one of the last analog systems that may have been installed in the entire state. It was on the end of the life expectancy of those systems. That was the beginning of transitioning over to digital systems. So that system is analog. It's on coax. It's using old conventional DVRs to actually do the recording. The difference is, so your point is being able to keep that up and running. They have replaced cameras over the years. Some of the cameras that are there are at very difficult locations. Think of some of the cameras like this one up here that are challenging to get to and are in rough atmospheric conditions. We were talking today, it's very similar. Some of the domes on those cameras are like the headlights of an old car. You take a 1970 Chevy pickup truck that's never had the headlights cleaned, they turn yellow, you clean them the best you can, the bugs have messed up. Those camera lenses and the domes in many cases are that way. Take my truck that I drive, I'm a clean freak, it gets washed every week, and so my headlights will never get yellow. So maintenance does help with it on the ones that you can get to. Conversely, the Justice Building that we just recently upgraded was one of the early digital systems. So at Unit 2, the wiring is not any good. We're going to have to replace the cameras and the wiring. So we'll have to be upgraded to it. We've been over there with a number of vendors to look at it. The neat thing about it is they thought ahead. There are wire troughs. There are conduit cables in between the walls. We're not going to do any wall drilling. We'll pull the conduit out, put the new Cat5 cabling in. The installation on it is really set up for this. So it's not a major issue. It could be twice as much if we weren't prepared for this. At the Justice Building, when we just did our upgrade, because it was a digital system, we were able to continue to utilize some of the cameras there. We didn't do a complete replacement. We replaced just where we needed to. I don't know if that helps or not, but that's part of why.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I'm all for it. Believe me, I didn't mean to come off overly critical. So I just wanted to just make sure, hopefully, we have systems in place to continue this upgrade as new technology comes out. So I appreciate Mr. Higgins and Sheriff Riles, Justice Coates bring us forward. I think it's a great thing to do, upgrade our systems and make sure we're in full compliance with whatever needs to be in compliance. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. Good question. And that's an important question, right? The court is appropriating lots of money always for big projects, law enforcement, big operation ongoing. And it's absolutely critical that we have public safety. And it's so important to spend those huge sums, undoubtedly is why the question came up, let's make sure we're using them in the proper way. And I hear the sheriff and Administrator Higgins talk about interoperability over time across our facilities, and it's a huge consideration for safety and for litigation purposes. So any other questions?
Yes, sir. Judge, if I may. Obviously, I'm full support of this, Sheriff, Officer, Administrator Higgins. And it's probably a question more for you. Say this passes tonight, what's the ballpark timeline that this would be completed, if there is one, at this particular moment?
So I'm Chris Watkins. I'm the captain and the jail administrator. So it depends on which bid we go with. There is one that is anywhere from 8 weeks to 12 weeks. then we have one that's about 2.5 to 3 weeks. There's a very touchy situation when you rip and replace. We have to still capture what we have. Any instance we have that we can capture, we need to save, because litigation is going to happen. So there's a fine dance that we're doing between the two, replacing, bringing in the new, but we still have to preserve certain things. There's certain times in certain areas that we'll be able to do it quickly. We have about 84 or 86 cameras right now at Unit 2. There is one bid that is moving to 101. So some of those will be in places that we don't have one yet. The conduit's there. Everything's prepped. So it just kind of depends on which bid we go with. But there's one that's about 2.5 to 3 weeks, and then there's one that's 8 weeks. The other one's somewhere in between. That'll be the biggest factor.
Thank you. Good question, and that's honestly what we're faced with often. Many of you probably know that, but during a contract negotiation phase of an implementation like that, the considerations about, for example, interoperability, the quality of the equipment, you know, do you spend more to last longer, all of those questions come into play. Questions about, certain contractors and vendors may think, well, I better give myself a little bit more buffer to rip that wall out or run that new line through the conduit, and so on and so forth. So really kind of moving target, but that's probably as close to an accurate description, at least has been described to me so far.
Your Honor, if I may.
Justice Coates?
I spent a couple hours in our detention center this afternoon and walked through the camera system. I'd been there right after I was elected about a year ago, and then saw again looking at the system that I was looking at with a little bit more focus. And I'm incredibly proud to be a Faulkner County citizen, but seeing the quality of that video, it upset me. It put our detention officers, it could possibly put our detention officers and our inmates, in a compromising situation. And I cannot tell you how much I am in support of this. This is a necessity. It is not a want. It is a need for our Sheriff's Department and our detention center. I encourage all of you to, if you have any questions, if you want to see the quality that we're dealing with right now, to set something up with Captain Watkins and go over and see for yourself. And just see the upgrades that need to be done. It's time. I also asked the question of money. You know, why hasn't this been done over the years? And my understanding was that it has been. They've changed out. And at this point, our only option is a complete overhaul. The whole system is just outdated, including the coax. I mean, none of us use coax in our homes anymore, and it's time that we do the same for our detention center.
Thank you, Justice Coates. Any questions? Further questions?
I have a question, Your Honor. What are the ranges on the bids that have been received for the project? I don't need vendor names. I don't need exact dollar amounts. I'm just looking for a range on bid amounts.
So just because I was finishing up on the project at the Justice Building, Sheriff Riles reached out to me to help facilitate this. It's not necessarily something I would get involved in. But they had a quote from a vendor. It is a GSA qualified vendor, which means it's pre-bid. Also, at that point, just because I wanted to look at, they had a couple other quotes that were months old, and so I recommended to the sheriff that we go ahead and get two new local vendor quotes. I say that with the original vendor that I was using, that we were using at the Justice Building, was out of Alabama. And part of the problem we had to do the upgrade there is it was costing us $5,000 every time they came here before they fixed anything. And I said, there are a lot of qualified local vendors that we can use. And we want to use our own, people if in Faulkner County, at least in Central Arkansas. So I reached out to the vendor that has done the Justice Building for us and another local vendor and asked them to come in. The first quote that we have was about $170,000. I have talked to these vendors. They are working up their price. It takes days, maybe even a couple of weeks. Sorry about that. Good.
That's not a bad music tool.
Yeah. Anyway, So I talked with them, and I said, is $200,000 a good number, since we have a price of about $177,000? They said, we think so, but that's not a bid price. The reason we're asking for $200,000 is we think that will cover that, and what if it comes in at $170,000 or $180,000, what's not used will be returned back to the fund.
Sure. I just want to see if it's enough to cover it. I have no problem with the expenditure. I'm concerned about it coming from the Capital Improvement Fund, and I'd like to hear why that was selected for the source of funding for it to come from. As everyone on this court knows, you know, we've been talking about the need for a jail expansion for numerous years. We passed a resolution. Part of that funding structure involves the Capital Improvement Fund, and I don't want to put us on a path of slippery slope to tapping into those monies when there's over $600,000 unappropriated in the criminal justice sales tax fund currently. So I'm curious why that was selected as a funding source for this.
I'll punt that to the sheriff on that one. Okay.
So I took an example from ordinance that Justice Higgins came before the court in September of 2023 to ask for funding for improvements that were needed at the Justice Building. I believe it wasn't necessarily camera systems, it was the security systems at the Justice Building. And I do know that partial reimbursement, I think, came in from insurance proceeds for that as well. But I took their lead to ask for this out of the Capital Improvement Fund based on the fact that it was granted by the court in September of last year for similar needs. We do have funding available in criminal justice. That is our self-sustained funding source at this time. I did pull numbers because I thought that maybe some foreign court members would be interested in looking at other options. And so we do have money available in criminal justice, but as a standard for as far as I can remember, we are over budgeting on criminal justice versus our revenue stream. And so if we continue on that path, it's just going to become more and more of a burden on our revenue stream. Luckily, we're fortunate that sales tax keeps increasing, but so do our needs along with that. And if everyone can think about their cost of living in your own homes, you may get a salary increase like we did our COLAs, but everything that we're buying for our homes and for our families are increasing as well. And that is the same exact thing that's happening on our expenses for the sheriff's office. All of our purchasing for the detention center to house these inmates and take care of them is increasing sizably. And so I don't want to put more of a burden on criminal justice than we have to. For one-time projects, that I feel like should be more used for reoccurring expenses that we can forecast and project out. So the other funding sources that I looked at were also the CARES Act, is what a lot of people call it, or the Coronavirus Relief Fund, and then also County General as well. But we decided, just based on a recent appropriation that was given to the county for similar funding needs, to start with the Capital Improvement Fund.
Speaking of this project, about something that could or could not be budgeted for as a one-time expense, and I've heard that camera upgrades is an ongoing concern, it's an ongoing expense, that this is something that we've had to deal with before in the past. So my question is, why isn't this anticipated or budgeted, and can we anticipate or budget for it in the future so that we don't have these large unexpected expenses for the jail?
This is a complete overhaul project, so it's pretty much ripping out the old, putting in the new. What we have done as reoccurring to keep the system working is when a camera goes down, we have replaced it when we can. We've had any kind of repairs, we do get those taken care of as fast as we can, but the whole system as a whole is going out, and we're not able to functionally repair it and everything operate the way it should any longer. That's why we have handled the repairs and just the, if you want to call them upgrades, I call them general maintenance. We have handled all of that within our own internal budgets. We haven't come before the court for that for Unit 2 at all. But at this point, we have to do a complete overhaul. And then there will be a maintenance and service agreement that goes along with that. do a general service agreement for it anymore because the system is so out of date.
Administrator Higgins, do you recall that September 2023 appropriation for the previous cameras?
I think that was actually for the security system that was hit by the lightning in the June storm. So we had a $300,000 quote-ish, I think it was a little under $300,000. We knew we had an insurance claim, but the system was down. So I came before the court asking to borrow $300,000 so I could get the system up. And once the insurance paid off, I would reimburse based on the insurance. I will say that that system was on our radar for an upgrade anyway because we were having a number of issues.
Right.
What happened was the insurance did pay off. One of the primary reasons that it paid off is our new camera system that was partially paid for by a Supreme Court grant that we were able to get the previous year. Mm-hmm. Our new camera system actually caught the lightning strike that damaged the justice building, did some other damage as well. We ended up with about $178,000 reimbursement from insurance. The total cost of the upgrade and the repairs is going to be about $290,000. So we're getting a $300,000 upgrade for less than $100,000 that we probably would have budgeted next year for the whole $300,000 out of pocket. Sure. That worked out fortuitous to us. I would like to just comment, though, you really hit on something that I had talked to the judge about at length. We came to the court this year with and requested an increase in both IT and in our building grounds, in our maintenance department. If you recall, I had to come in toward the end of the year last year and ask for some additional funds for heating and air units that we just went through on last year. This year, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys, is plumbing. We're just having the snot beat out of us on plumbing issues, both at the sheriff's office and in this building, that we did not plan for, did not budget. Part of that reason is I'm a maintenance guy. I mean, that's my background. The more you can invest in maintenance, the more you'll save in the long run. And I'll say that we probably don't do a good job of maintaining what we have. We have a 100-year-old building here that has lots of needs. A lot of the needs, not criticizing anybody from the past, but a lot of the needs probably could have been minimized with additional maintenance. So as we get into, I'm already looking into next year's budget issues with building and grounds, and we'd like to really itemize some things that we may need to budget for maintenance issues to help take care of the stuff that we have so that we're not coming in here and saying, hey, I need a couple $100,000 to fix things.
From the capital improvement plan, which has been set aside for future construction projects, particularly the jail. Please understand that I'm not against the appropriation of these monies for these purposes. I'm asking the questions just as a matter of, you know, monetary responsibility and you know, where just knowing that if we take the money from this fund or from this fund now, it's likely going to be passed on to as debt later on down the road when we borrow to potentially fund a new jail. And so I would urge this court to consider, you know, appropriating this money from the criminal justice fund for sales tax for those reasons, unless I can hear a strong argument against that. Because if we don't use the money we have now to pay for this, which I think is a good expenditure, we're just going to be borrowing it later. So with that, you know, if anybody has any conversation or comment on that, I'll probably, just because I feel personally responsible enough I feel like it's my responsibility to make the motion that we change where these monies come from.
My only comment, though, I'd like to add to that is that Unit 2 is a county building. It's maintained, and although we are in charge of the control of it and the inmates within it and making sure that the procedures are handled properly, it's still a county-owned building. And vastly, for the most part, all other county maintenance is budgeted out of county general, which is where the money for the capital improvement fund comes from. There is even a county maintenance department that is solely funded out of the county general fund. So that's the only reason I ask that for this large project expense that you asked that you appropriated out of the capital improvement fund and or county general fund, because our special revenue stream of criminal justice, I just don't like seeing one-time large expenses being budgeted out of it and would generally we'd like to set that money aside for our operating expenses. So that's my request.
I can certainly appreciate your perspective there on wanting to budget it for recurring expenses. And to me, I'm kind of struggling with it because I totally see the argument that this is a capital investment in the building itself. So I can be convinced. I just think this is an important conversation to have around this issue. We have this conversation all the time, you know, about where we're going to draw funds for, you know, certain criminal justice needs. And, you know, just doing my due diligence to try to have that conversation thoughtfully.
I expect this conversation. I actually appreciate it. So I actually have different ordinances backed up with other funding options if that is what the court chooses.
Right. I'll yield the floor unless anybody else on the court, you know, feels strongly one way or the other, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to follow Justice Pearson's. Does the amount not appropriated, is that taken into account the increase of $500,000 that Treasurer Sanson increased the anticipated revenues?
No, those won't come out until the new county budget book comes out. When are we anticipating that budget book? Next month.
So essentially this amount not appropriated?
Yeah, so you could pretty add $250 to that next month, depending on how their carryover looks when we do the carryover number next month.
Okay, thank you.
I would also just interject. I mean, we're however many months into the year, so I would urge caution there, too, not poo-pooing the idea of pulling it from different buckets.
Not to speak on where you're pulling it from, because that's totally y'all's decision. Tax revenue for 2023 was $14 million. $13 million was a little bit low to project a revenue. Even projecting a revenue at 13.5, that's still only about 98% of what, I think it's 98 or 96% of what it was, what the revenue was in 2013. We were very confident that we were going to get the 13.5.
Just to clarify, the numbers on this sheet for the summary statements were 641, was it just Pearson quoted? Was it based on $13 million?
That is correct.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions, comments?
The court, let me stay on. Are you speaking again?
Sure, just want to make sure your microphone's on.
Hopefully it is.
Here we go.
This is kind of a general question for Angie or Sheriff Riles. The $200,000 we're looking at appropriating, will this get us to the bare minimum, or is this going to put us well above where we need to be at this point? Just kind of a general question. I don't want to spend $200,000 if we're just going to get to the bare minimum. I'd rather spend more if we need to, but it's just a general question.
The $200,000 is going to cover an additional 18 to 20 cameras. So no, we're not coming to a bare minimum. We're so far behind that this move is actually getting us more up to par to where we should be. But that's why we went to the $200,000. We've got that one bid at, you know, 178 and some change. But no, the $200,000 will get us up to par where we should be operating. We're a jail our size, and in our responsibility to our county, where we believe we should be.
Okay, so the $200,000, if all spent, would get us to where we need to be.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You know, while I was there today, they were showing me the cameras that were there now. They're fixed cameras. Some of them don't have sound, and some of these new ones are able to be tilted, panned, there's sound included, so they're not bare bones. It's definitely the designer can choose where those are needed most.
Yeah, it was just a general question. I just want to make sure we are spending this money, and if we need to spend more even to get where we need to. I mean, on par is great, but obviously for future usage, of course, we want to make sure we're above where we need to be. But if the sheriff's office is happy with it and they're where we need to be, then that's great. I applaud you for bringing us forward and pushing it. Appreciate it.
It was also my understanding that the new detention center and unit two, the two camera systems will be compatible to a certain degree. Am I explaining that correctly? And they'll also have remote observing capabilities so that they can log in and see what's going on from their phones.
More good discussion. Shows me and everyone else, our core court gets our budgeting process. And these are pretty advanced discussions. Kudos. Any other questions or comments? All right, we have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Grady.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Moss.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes. Okay, again, thank you for all that commentary. I appreciate that competency from the court. And motion carries. The ordinance passes. Next, we go to tab number 7, proposed resolution 24-01. It is a pro-life resolution to be brought through our courts of public safety. I believe that's sponsored by Justice Allison. I will just recommend it's not an ordinance, it's a resolution, it's a statement of policy. So, I'll entertain a motion.
Your Honor, I'd like to make a motion to consider proposed resolution 24-01.
Second.
Motion and second. All right, Counselor.
Fulton County Forum Court, proposed resolution 24-01, sponsored by John Allison, be it resolved by the Forum Court, Fulton County, State of Arkansas, a resolution to be entitled a resolution to reaffirm the status of Fulton County, Arkansas, as a pro-life county, and to oppose the proposed Arkansas abortion amendment in accordance with the policy of Fulton County, Arkansas.
Okay, Justice Allison.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. There's a group called itself Arkansas for Limited Government. They're collecting signatures to put the Arkansas Abortion Amendment of 2024 on the ballot this November. Under the current law, the group needs 90,704 signatures, with a minimum number of signatures coming from at least 50 counties. Faulkner County has almost 75,000 registered voters and will be a prime target for gathering signatures. I believe the group would be more appropriately named Arkansans for Abortion on Demand, because that's what's going to happen if this amendment is placed on the ballot and passed. Arkansas will become a slaughterhouse for unborn babies. Just as the group's name is misleading, so is their message. They claim Arkansas law currently criminalizes all abortion without exception. This message is false. It's intentional. Arkansas Code Annotated 561-304 prohibits an abortion except to save the life of a pregnant woman in an emergency. That's a quote. In addition, Arkansas Code Annotated 561-303 clearly excludes from the definition of an abortion any, this is a quote, act performed with a purpose to save the life or preserve the health of the unborn child, to remove a dead unborn child caused by spontaneous abortion, or three, to remove an ectopic pregnancy. The group pushing the petitions would be more appropriately named Arkansans for Abortion on Demand. The group's name itself is a major part of its effort to mislead and misinform voters, to convince them that a pressing need exists to enshrine the Arkansas Constitution as a fundamental right to abortion on demand, with absolutely no restrictions. They will tell you the amendment will only expand the right to abortion in cases of rape and incest and to save the life of the mother. As I previously said, the right to protect the life of the mother is already written in the current abortion law. It's there. It exists. This amendment for abortion on demand is totally pointless if your goal is to protect the life of the mother, because contrary to those lies of those who long to slay these unborn babies, that protection already exists in the current law. I've talked to several people who oppose abortion on demand who believe the lie that this amendment will only expand abortion access to victims of rape and incest. Some of these who oppose abortion in almost all cases believe exceptions for rape and incest are necessary. I'm not here to argue the need or lack thereof for such exceptions. That argument's for another day. My goal today is to expose the lie that this amendment for abortion on demand will only expand abortion access in the case of rape and incest. That is not the truth. The text of the amendment is available for everyone to read. The title will appear on the ballot, as will its popular name, the Arkansas Abortion Amendment of 2024. But it's imperative we get the truth out about this proposed amendment while the group is circulating this petition. Why? First, because few voters will read the 529-word title on a petition before they sign, or on the ballot before they vote. 529-word title. Most will decide whether or not to sign a petition and whether or not to vote for or against the amendment based on what they've been told, even if they've been told a lie. We must tell the truth now. We have to shout the truth from the mountaintops in western Arkansas to the delta in eastern Arkansas, from the hardwood forests in northern Arkansas to the pine forests in southern Arkansas, from the Capitol in Little Rock to the city halls and cafes and coffee shops in all the tiny towns and communities that dot the state, as well as here in Faulkner County. Some believe this body should take no side in this battle. I believe we should. In September 2021, Justice Kendrick brought before this body Resolution 2105. I was proud to vote for that and thankful that he brought that. It declares Faulkner County is a policy to protect the lives of unborn babies. I'm thankful, again, for the opportunity to vote for that amendment in 2021. Sorry, I lost my place. According to the 2022 Procedures Manual for Arkansas Justice of the Peace, page 38, and Arkansas Code Annotated 1414904, section J, a county resolution may be used whenever the quorum court wishes merely to express an opinion as to some matter of county affairs, and a resolution shall not serve to compel any executive action. If this abortion amendment gets on the ballot and passes, unborn babies in Faulkner County will die. And it's the policy of Faulkner County to promote and protect the dignity of all persons at all stages of life. This undoubtedly falls under the umbrella of some matter of county affairs. Undoubtedly. The truth about this amendment is it will permit an abortion provider to terminate any pregnancy at any stage from conception up until the moment before live birth. Section 1 of the amendment states, the government of the state of Arkansas, its officers, its political subdivisions shall not prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion services in cases of rape, in cases of incest, in the event of a fetal fatal anomaly, or when in a physician's good faith medical judgment, abortion services are needed to protect a pregnant female's life or to protect a pregnant female from a physical disorder, physical illness, or physical injury. In Section 3 of the definitions, we see the physical disorder, physical illness, or physical injury is defined without limitation, a life-endangering physical disorder, physical illness, or physical injury caused by or arising from the pregnancy itself, and any situation in which continuation of a pregnancy will create a serious risk of substantial impairment of a major bodily function of a pregnant female. The definition of a major bodily function, as then stated, includes without limitation functions of the immune system, normal cell growth and digestive, bile, bladder, neurological, brain, respiratory, circulatory, endocrine, and reproductive functions, and operation of an individual organ within a body system. This is where the truth of this amendment is hidden. Specifically, neurological and brain functions named here open the door for an abortion provider to declare his services are necessary to protect a pregnant woman from sadness, anger, mood swings, and other emotions. Emotions are a neurological function of the brain and are affected by pregnancy. According to the language of this amendment, mood swings in a pregnant woman qualify as a physical disorder, a physical illness, or a physical injury that would allow an abortion provider to terminate the pregnancy of any woman experiencing those mood swings at any point in her pregnancy, or in danger of experiencing them after her pregnancy, at any point from conception to just before birth, to the moment just before birth. How is that unborn baby aborted? What tactics are employed to terminate the life of that human baby? I had three videos here that I want to show, but it was determined they're too gruesome for a public meeting. They were animated, but even so, they were still too gruesome. The videos feature former abortion doctors, two of whom claim to have performed thousands of abortions, another who claimed to have performed hundreds before they turned pro-life and realized they were killing these babies. In their animations, you see the babies ripped apart, limb by limb, piece by piece, removed. After, in the third trimester abortion, the baby has been starved to death in the womb. These videos feature doctors performing hundreds of thousands of abortions. When they're practicing abortionists, they would have stood before us and told the same stories so many other practicing abortionists and pro-abortion activists will tell you. They would have described the procedures you saw or you would see on the video in terms that make them sound harmless. The unborn human baby would be referred to as tissue. The murder and dismembering of that third trimester baby would be called a procedure. A completely viable, capable of living outside the womb baby would suffer a procedure to rip off his or her limbs, crush his or her skull, and remove the intentionally killed baby, piece by gruesome piece, from the womb. Somewhere along the way, they recognized they were actually killing babies, real live human babies, whose crime that warranted their extermination was simply they had yet to be born.
For 50 years after Roe v. Wade, 70 million innocent lives were extinguished by the processes on those videos. 70 million violent murders. 70 million unborn babies slaughtered. Legal, because the Supreme Court ruled the U.S. Constitution granted a right that's found nowhere in its text. The Arkansas legislature and the governor took bold steps to protect the lives of the unborn, and once the yoke of Roe was removed from the neck of Arkansas, Arkansas vaulted to the number one position in the ranking of states by their pro-life status. Our land of opportunity finally became a land of opportunity for those who were too long deprived of the most basic opportunity of all, the opportunity to live. Arkansas law ranks the killing of an unborn child a Class D felony. Abuse of a corpse is a more serious crime as a Class D felony. Animal cruelty, forgive me, I know you're passionate. Not necessarily the killing of an animal, but just being cruel to it is a Class D felony. In other words, the abortion of a live human baby, the murder of a live human baby, is equal in the eyes of the law to the intentional cruelty to an animal. The group Arkansans for Abortion on Demand, they hope to burden our state again with the yoke of Roe, only this time shackling us with it permanently as an amendment to our state constitution. In 2021, this court declared the policy of Faulkner County, Arkansas to promote and protect the dignity of humanity of all persons at all stages of life, from conception until natural death. Arkansas law clearly includes in the purview of this court the authority to pass this resolution tonight to denounce the proposed amendment for abortion on demand. If it truly is the policy of Faulkner County to promote and protect the life of all persons at all stages of development, from conception until natural death, I consider it more than a right to stand unified in opposition to this amendment, to this amendment. I consider it a duty. Let's pass this resolution tonight and move forward, shouting from the mountaintops the truth about what the amendment for abortion on demand will do. Let's all do what we can to prevent its passage, lest the blood of the innocents who will perish in its wake be on our hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Allison. Any questions or comments?
I have a comment, if I may.
Justice Strange.
I've read the proposed amendment, and I think John did a pretty good job of explaining what's in it. I fully support his resolution because I just don't think people, and I think that's kind of our history, actually, is people tend to see the title on an amendment and just vote for it, and then we suffer the consequences for decades after that. And I think this, if this gets through, it's going to really be a terrible thing for the state of Arkansas. I couldn't help but think while he was talking about the 70 million babies since Roe versus Wade, that's the number of people that they say was killed by communist Russia after the Bolshevik Revolution. They killed 70,000 of their own people. So anyway, I support this, and I would appreciate everybody else consideration. If you're going to sign that petition, I really think everybody should read it first, and please read between the lines, because there's a lot of things there that could be interpreted a lot of different ways. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment, question? All right, all in favor, this is, it's not required a roll call vote. All in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. We have two no's. That can count.
Okay, you want a roll call or you just want me to notate that they...
Raise your hand if you voted yes. Raise your hand if you voted no. All right, there were two. We have 9-4, two against, Justice Tyler, Justice Grady. All others voted for. Got that?
Yes.
Motion carries, resolution passes. Next on the agenda, we have tab number 8. Proposed resolution 24-02, LESO compliance notice. Tab number 8.
Your Honor, I propose, make a motion that we put proposed resolution number 2402 on the table for discussion.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Counsel.
Proposed resolution number 24-02, resolution of Quorum 4 to Fulton County to advance effective, accountable policing and criminal justice practices to enhance public trust and public safety.
Okay, could we have a synopsis, please? This is coach, do you defer to Chief Woolley?
Yes, sir.
Recognize Chief Woolley. Chief Woolley.
All right, good afternoon, or evening, I guess, now. In committee, I kind of gave them a little back history, so we'll run through that real quick. In the early 90s, the National Defense Authorization Act through Congress allowed the transfer of access of Department of Defense equipment to law enforcement agencies. In 1997, they established LESO, which is the Law Enforcement Support Office, to basically establish and coordinate those transfers. In previous years, we have used LESO here at our department. We're one of probably 9,000 law enforcement agencies across the country. And this property that we're allowed to get is, again, excess equipment that would otherwise be destroyed if not put in use. The property is at zero cost to law enforcement, and they did so, in their words, to maximize the tax dollar and aid law enforcement with funding of this equipment. We have used LESO. We've obtained rifles, small equipment, some vehicles most recently. Well, it's been a couple of years now. We got the MRAP. The MRAP come to us from California. It cost us a freight fee, but it had a price tag of nearly $600,000. That MRAP's been used here locally several times in high-risk operations. We used it down in Lawley for the flood for rescue. We've deployed it to Perry County, Vancouver County, and Surfs County to help them with high-risk operations. So definitely that the property that we could not otherwise afford out of our own budget has been a significant to us. Most recently, well, for quite some time now, our special response team has been in need of some night vision capabilities. At nearly $5,000 to $10,000 a set, we've not been able to absorb that in our budget. Commander Rappo was able to find some sets through the LESO program, and when we initiated the transfer, LESO denied it. And at first we weren't sure why they denied it, but they said, well, your court has not passed the resolution. What resolution is that? So we got an example from Craighead County Sheriff's Office, which is mirrored in front of you, and when I read it, there was a lot to it. So looking at what that actually meant was in May of 2022, President Biden signed an executive order on police reform. And Section 12 out of Section 23 sections imposed more restrictions on this Department of Defense equipment being transferred to law enforcement. And part of that Section 12, that restriction said that now, in order for us to request this equipment, that we would have to notify our civilian government body, which could be in court, letting you know our intent to request equipment any further. Also, along with that, we would have to post for the public our intentions that we would be requesting property for the Department of Defense. So this is what this resolution does for us. I do have something type ready to we can place on our website and place it on the front window of the sheriff's office. If this resolution does not pass, we will miss out on the opportunity to acquire equipment any further from the law enforcement support office at $0.
Thank you for that. So, motion second. We have a synopsis of it. Are there any questions for the chief?
This is more of an administrative question. In the third paragraph, whereas talks about Exhibit A, and that has not been provided. Can anybody explain what's in Exhibit A?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So Exhibit A is the actual posting that we're going to put on the public for the website. And basically it gives a list of not all the equipment that can be asked for, but a majority of it. So that is the exhibit that's referred to.
Okay, so that'll be what's put up for the public.
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Chief, this is a one-time notice, is that right?
Yes, correct, sir.
Once done, it's always done.
Yes, sir.
And any other questions, comments?
I don't have a question, I have a comment, but Chief, I just want to say I appreciate what y'all do. I hate the fact that you have to come to this court and ask us for this, because I think that your department, I think we're just looking at separation of power issues, where I trust y'all to make the right decision on what you need and what to buy for your officers and for the protection of people, and I hate it that you have to come and ask us for this when there's no money involved. It's just basically, to me, an inference in this executive order that it's inappropriate for you to buy this material or to obtain this, these, whatever the equipment you're getting. Yeah. So I just want to say I'm going to vote for this so that you can get it, but I hate the fact that we have to vote for it because I trust y'all to do the job.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? All right, it is a resolution. We'll have a voice vote. All in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion carries. Resolution passes, and that notice requirement has been met or will be met. All right, next on our agenda, we go to appointments, and there are none this month. And next, we move to the announcements section. I do have a discussion of the eclipse. But before I do, are there any other announcements? Any of the officials or anyone in the public need to make any announcements? All right, Sarah, can you get our slideshow going? I'm going to struggle to read it from this angle, but we'll get through it. As you know, the eclipse, April 8th, and just a few words of caution. This is the PSA opportunity we have as a quorum court meeting to tell you where we're at, give you some cautionary words so that you'll be prepared. You can discuss with your constituents and tell you a little bit about what we've been doing as a county and give you a little bit of an outlook. I will say, initially, you're probably flabbergasted at some of the numbers of projected potential visitors to this area, but honestly, there have been some examples out there of these things around the country, and there's some pretty good science behind the numbers expected. But, and our treasurer's been under the weather, and so the numbers, though, I mean, honestly, I think it's fair to say our sheriff's here, Administrator Higgins is here, and has been our lead on the liaisoning with many agencies, local, certainly our sheriff's department, and our OEM. It goes from there to the reserves, the emergency squad, our coroner, the road department, the judge's administration proper. Liaisoning with other local governments and the state and even the federal government. It's a big undertaking, but I will tell you this. There are going to be an awful lot of people watching the weather. And believe it or not, if the worst case here would be is if it's cloudy along a good bit of the path and then projected to be clear here, you're going to see massive influxes. And so I would urge, before we go into the technical aspects of the path, you see it up there on the screen, path of totality, you'll see Faulkner County. We're in Conway at the moment. If you look at the city of Conway, you know it's centrally located in our county. You're going to see, well, gosh, we're awfully close. I'll talk to you about the travel routes in just a second, but I would urge you to just share with your constituents, family, and friends. Hey, go ahead and prepare. Just go ahead and buy gas the early part of the week and just get that out of the way. I'd go ahead and fill it up now and just top off later. If we do have a massive influx of people visiting here, they're going to need to leave at some point, and a goodly number of them are going to go fill up. So fuel tanks at the gas stations are only so big. And so that's just you can help the gas stations by going ahead and filling up now. Just fill up and just keep it topped off. That way you won't be a big user of gas from the gas stations as we run up to that date. We'd expect a bunch of the visitors' RVs will be coming in several days ahead of time. And then you'll have the day trippers coming over from Memphis and other parts east that'll come in that day, or maybe the evening before. Usually the evening before. And so just start to be prepared for that. I mean, naturally, the grocery stores are going to be, you know, preparing for the worst, and they don't know what to order that's going to go bad if it's not a big event here. But I'd go ahead and just order. Just go ahead and get the things that you know you're going to need. Don't wait till the last minute, because we're going to have a lot of visitors here. And I would make sure, you know, I had all the milk that I wanted well ahead of the time. Well ahead of time. Bottle of water, those sorts of things. Next screen, please. All right, so that is planned. I don't really see it well from here, but I believe that's the map that shows likely travel paths to get here. Is that the one we're looking at, Randy? You see it? And so if you look in terms of traffic planning, and I'll give RDOT credit, they have done a really good job of modeling using real science about it. And so you'll see the likely paths. And you're, as you might guess, since we're on the east side of that path of totality, the dead center part of it, we're going to see a lot of people coming from the east, particularly just the east-southeasterly direction. And next slide, please. That's going to show you the durations and locations. Randy, you'll probably have to interpret that one. I can't read it from here, but the beginning and end.
Yeah, so this shows when the eclipse starting at the southern border and then the amount of time that these locations, how long the totality will be. If you look at the very top, you'll see that the partial eclipse starts in Faulkner County at around 12:37. Total eclipse actually begins at 1:55, maximum at 1:56, end of total eclipse 1:57, and then the end of partial eclipse at 3:15. So you think about this, you know, you hear over and over, this is a 4-minute event. Actually, it's not. It's more like a 3-hour event. That people who are really into this will be watching that. So that's what this slide shows. We are in the well within the 95% coverage rate of the total eclipse here in Faulkner County.
And so I think, and I'll interject, Randy, I'll just ask you to stand there. We go through a few more slides, and I'll also say, just reach out to our office so that you can have hard copies of this, and you can study it, and you're going to have people asking you. And you'll be able to answer the questions. I think it is important to note when everybody leaves, if they leave, it's like a Razorback game on a statewide and region-wide scale. And if you think about the roads we all know well here, your leaders in our community, you know all our roads and all the likely routes. So if people are coming from, first of all, you'll be able to witness it anywhere. You don't have to be on the top of the building. Don't try to get on the courthouse or the justice building or the jail. That will not be permitted. But you can see it in the front lawn. I mean, it's going to be overhead. So we'll talk about PPE in a second. But think about the routes. If folks want to go get the absolute few extra seconds or minute or two by going toward the center, then they're going to be coming back this direction. You can think about those routes around our county. If you'll go to the next slide, well, pause that thought before you look too closely at that slide. Do we have the slide about projected traffic bottlenecks?
I think it's next. We'll just hit this one in that. I just went online. I spent less than 5 minutes finding some of the key events that will be in Faulkner County. Hendricks College will be having an event that will be gathering people. UCA, CBC. Also, the city of Greenbrier has really been promoting it. But the one in the middle with the Great American Eclipse up on Cajun Creek, That's not really even on the radar of the sheriff's office until we saw this online in our meetings. There will be hundreds and potentially thousands up on Cajun Creek in the northern part of the county, you know, celebrating and out looking at the event. So we know that we're going to have a lot of large events, and then there are going to be family events. I've got people coming to my house, a friend of mine from Atlanta driving up their RV, and another couple from Jackson, Mississippi coming up and saying, parking in my yard. I assure you, everybody in Greenbrier is filled up. There is not a porta potty to be found in the state of Arkansas, not a one.
And Randy, thank you for that clarification. But looking at that, listening to what Randy said, it's important to tell you folks, at the county, we're not about maximizing revenue. We're glad that municipalities and groups are capitalizing on that. Good, and we'll see the sales tax revenue. Hopefully we all benefit from that, all the way down to the schools, law enforcement, roads, our other countywide officials, their operations. Hey, have at it. I won't say I am praying for cloud cover or forecasting for cloud cover, but if we're going to have it, you know, hey, let's just make it a safe event, which brings me to my point. At the county level, that's fine if you want to capitalize on that, but we're here about critical services. And that's been the focus of all of our county efforts. We have to get our law enforcement to events. Crime doesn't stop. It's not expected that the rate of crime will increase. It hasn't in previous similar events. But if you have more people, then there are just more events. You have more wrecks. You have more people with medical conditions that need to have ambulances and first responders reach them. You have hopefully not fires, but we have to get fire service. So law enforcement, fire, EMT, all of the above with critical services, we have to travel to get to those locations. And so our sheriff's department, our OEM, emergency squad, even our coroner is making arrangements. I won't go into too much detail, but, you know, you just have to be ready for more events than we normally see. So we look at traffic routes and traffic patterns and how we're going to get folks around. Just simple people stuck, or their vehicle's overheating, or they're out of bottled water, or they run out of gas, or their battery's dead. So our law enforcement will be equipped to help those stranded motorists. Our road department will be working. Our county offices are closed, but obviously the sheriff's office, the county judge's office will have a skeleton crew. We will have the road department will be fully staffed with folks dispersed according to our plan, working with sheriff's office and all others, including the emergency squad. I think they're gonna look at Lake Conway in particular.
Setting up communications and stationing out at Lake Conway. And we anticipate having, with this crowd in the northern part of the county, they'll be stationed up there with kayaks prepared to do water rescues if we have to.
There you go, like the reserves, right?
Yes, reserves and
squad. So, won't go into necessarily a whole lot more detail. Feel free to call myself, Administrator Higgins, the Sheriff's Office. Be glad to answer any of your questions if you have any beyond tonight. But next slide, please. So bottlenecking traffic. We will have the road administration's ordered a number of traffic cameras. I'm going to toss over to Randy on why.
Well, first off, if many of you hopefully have seen this. This is an excerpt from the RDOT Eclipse plan, and it's color-coded, and I tried to blow it up into Faulkner County and lost its detail, but purple is the most intense traffic that they're anticipating. There are only two purple roads in the state of Arkansas. One of them, I believe, is Highway 70 coming between Benton and Hot Springs, and the other one is Highway 65 between Conway and Greenbrier. Those are the most critical traffic areas in the state. And then if you look at all that red area, that is again going to be I-40, Highway 65, Highway 25 in this area, partly because people are going to be going to and from there. So we're having to plan for the worst for our traffic concerns. If you want to go to the next slide, So we know that we're going to have to monitor the traffic in Faulkner County, and the iDrive Arkansas has around a dozen cameras stationed in the Conway area where we will be able to monitor I-40. So we can see the traffic is both coming in and out of the county before and after the event. What we don't have, though, is really an effective way to watch other areas of the county. For example, Highway 65 on the other side of Bologna. What does that traffic look like as they're going into White County or back this way? And then also Highway 65 north of Greenbrier, Cadron Flats. We already know that purple area between Conway and Greenbrier is going to be a key area. So the road department, in conjunction with IT, has been a great help with this. We've been able to purchase five cameras that are solar powered and have cell phone capability and Wi-Fi. We've been testing them this week that we'll be posting in some of these high traffic areas off of I-40 so that we can monitor the traffic from our emergency operations center. And then for first responders, we'll have our communications net there so that first responders, when they have to respond, we'll be able to look and say, yeah, traffic on I-40 or Highway 65 at this point is not bad, or it's gridlocked and we've got to take an alternative route. That's part of our key planning and communications with our first responders.
So that's really exciting. Hope you're excited about that. There'll be real-time telemetry to service dispatch, obviously, for our first responders, to everything else, stranded motorists and all that. How do we get around the county with critical services? So that's real. You know, we've all seen the RDOT cameras. We've all been out there and looked at them online, I'm sure. And I don't know. We thought, why not Faulkner County? And so thank you, Randy, for that. Our IT department, our road department, and those folks have put in a lot of work to stand a brand-new concept up using available technology. We just never envisioned that we would use that at the county level. We'll use it going forward after the Eclipse event. But that's exciting.
You sure about solar cameras for this, though?
They actually will operate for 2 weeks without any kind of charge. We're hoping that the Eclipse doesn't last 2 weeks.
No, that's really exciting.
Rim shot.
If you just a quick picture there, you know, it's more of a funny, but that's actually a little bit of what the traffic looked like in Wyoming during the 2017 Eclipse. One thing that we are concerned about that state police has mentioned is that people who are driving who are not Eclipse watchers may pull over on the side of the interstate like that. Let's just pull over and watch this thing. So that could cause some traffic issues as well that we're concerned about. The state police is really working on that. We'll be watching it in the county as well. You know, this is part of the presentation. These are some helpful hints. I won't go through all of these, but there are some really, really good clues with this. You know, this potentially could be a economic hog boom for Faulkner County if a lot of these people come in. I reached out to a number of grocers in the area. They are planning as though this is a 4th of July event or a Memorial Day event. Hot dogs, mustard, ketchup, potato chips, you know, those kinds of things. But there's also, we realize that there are going to be traffic issues. Those of us in the local area, we really need to be planning ahead. We know where the roads are. The people who come in here, where are they going to be? I-40, Highway 65, and Highway 64, because that's where Google's going to tell them to go. I don't think there is a Eclipse button to push that gives them the alternative routes. They're going to be on the main thoroughfares. Anything that we can do as locals to stay off of that or just stay home would probably be the best bet. You know, we encourage visitors to come to Faulkner County and experience good opportunity, but we want to make it as safe as we possibly can. We've been planning this for over a year. I say we, Faulkner County, everybody in the county. We have met with our health care providers, our hospitals, our schools. Most of the schools are letting out, and there's been, you know, a little bit of pushback to the schools. Why are the schools letting out? I mean, you know, mostly, why can't they just stay home and everything? The reason for this, Justice Allison, is that school buses will be on the road at the same time that this thing is ending around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Do we want our kids spending 5 and 6 hours on the school buses? So I think it was a smart move for the schools to make those decisions. A couple other warnings, you know, we're going to be standing out in the sun if it isn't cloudy, Justice Pearson. If they have a sunshiny day, you know, wear a ball cap, wear the solar glasses. We don't want anybody with retina burn on their eyes because they're up there checking all this out. I was stopped this morning and purchased gas at the Panther Station in Greenbrier. Walked in to pay for my gas and get me a soft drink. They had a stack of glasses at the convenience store, you know, solar glasses. So they're not going to be hard to get. You can get those locally. Let me see. Be sure and have your viewing location, if you're going to go somewhere, in advance. The last bullet there, how you're going to get home, how you're going to safely enjoy the eclipse. I think we want to encourage all of our constituents and everybody locally to just do a little bit of planning ahead. Hopefully, it won't be that big of a deal. I used to go to all the Razorback games in Little Rock. I was one of those guys that unless it was really close, 5 minutes before the game was over, I'm heading to the car, you know, I'm trying to get out of town. And I knew what my escape route was. That's something that we as locals should be prepared for. And the last slide is make sure you wear your glasses. Just keep everybody involved there. Judge, that should be the last slide.
Thank you for that, and hopefully you get an understanding of all of the coordination that's gone on really from state on down, really even nationally, or this region of the nation. Listen, it could be an absolute flop. We don't want to go on record as saying there are going to be X number of people here because we just don't know. What we do know is we have to be prepared for it. And, you know, if it's a non-event here, just a few people, then that's fine. We know that we will have been prepared. So,
Judge, I'll just reiterate the comment that you made earlier. I mean, we hear this over and over. If it's cloudy, it potentially could be a flop. If it's sunshiny statewide, people will be in their locations. The biggest challenge that we have is if it is cloudy on top of Pettigee Mountain and it's clear here. The true believers of the eclipse will load up and they'll be heading this direction. Conversely, if it's cloudy here and it's clear in Marlton, they'll be hitting Interstate 40 heading to Morton, Conway County. That is the biggest traffic influx that we could have is if we have local issues where they're going to be migrating just within, you know, a few miles.
Yeah, so the takeaway there is watch the forecast. You're going to see it just like everyone else. And if you have to work that day and it's going to be sunny here and we're going to have a lot of people, just plan to stay where you're at. Don't get stranded out there somewhere. Make sure you got plenty of gas. Plenty of antifreeze. You don't want your car overheat and burn up. A little planning will go a long way here. Whether you plan to celebrate the eclipse event or not, we're aware it's happening, so we just have to accommodate and be ready for that. Are there any questions?
Judge, I have one comment.
Sure.
If you don't mind. And don't limit yourself to think that this is going to be a Monday event or a Sunday event. We're actually preparing and we anticipate an influx beginning like on the Thursday prior to. So it'd be a multiple day occurrence up to and then potentially a couple day occurrence afterwards. So you may have mentioned that. I might have missed it.
Sure. You know, but that reminds me, Sheriff, everything from fuel for our patrol vehicles to our road vehicles and all of that. I appreciate the Sheriff's collaboration. We extended the offer to be able to help them fuel. We'll work the budget numbers back and forth. We have the capacity to keep them fueled up if it's a worst-case scenario and our gas stations all run out, you know. So they'll get the gas stations. We'll get their gas back in no time. But our operation, we won't go into a whole lot of the technical setup for the operation, just out of a need for security. But I'm really proud of the organization. I hope you're proud of the organization that's gone on behind the scenes, just from what you can hear. A lot of agencies preparing with good, genuine effort to make sure what we do measures up to a Faulkner County standard. And we're doing everything we can. Really excited about all that. The traffic cams especially, that's neat. That's a neat use of technology. Reach out to any of us. Sheriff, I know I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure that you and your staff will answer any questions folks may have. Every contingency we can think of has been accounted for. So. Any questions?
What will we be posting on our website?
We recognize PIO Sherry Skaggs, Dr. Skaggs.
Judge, thank you. Sheriff, thank you. Members of the court, yes. So at our last meeting, they brought me in, and the plan is we're not just going to do an individual sheriff's office release on this. So we want to do a countywide release on this that's a little bit more comprehensive, that lets all of the citizens know not only what are kind of the safety and precautionary plans of the Sheriff's Office, but what are some of the other road department plans and other services in the county, as well as just some of the tips for citizens, not only getting your gas, getting your groceries, but also making sure you get any medication you might need in advance or preparation for anything that could happen. So we're in process now of working on a multi-agency press release that we'll be able to put out, posting on all of the websites and then all of the social media pages.
You know, thank you, Dr. Staggs. But one of the things that we struggle with, we can start with messaging early now, and we're probably going to start doing some of that, but it's important to remember a lot of people that are going to be here that need the messaging the most are not here yet. They won't be here until, you know, the closer we get to the eclipse. But we need to instill confidence always. We'll manage that. Dr. Staggs, that we're huge fans of, and Sheriff's Department PIO, we're borrowing her a little bit over in the judge's office. We hope to spread her out a little bit. We're happy to have her, and it's comforting with her ease of use of just the channels of communication out there and making sure, you know, we meet the needs of our citizens, engaging with our citizens. Any other questions or comments?
Your Honor, just one quick comment. I just want to publicly thank and acknowledge the hard work of everybody on behalf of county government, including your administration, the Sheriff's Office, and everybody, Administrator Higgins, everything that you guys have done and talked about here tonight to ensure that not only are our citizens safe and prepared for this event, but also are the visitors that are coming to our area, perhaps for many for the first time. So I applaud you. Thank you very much for everything.
You're welcome. Thank you for recognizing that. It really is an exercise in collaboration, and everybody just, gosh, we've never seen this before, and just reaching down. How good are we supposed to be serving the citizens of Fauna County? And that's kind of where we go from there. It's like, we got to cover it all. Blackboard sessions, you know, agenda-less blackboard sessions, trying to, you know, just brainstorm where we go with this. And hey, it'd be fun to watch the eclipse. Who was it mentioned they were in St. Louis? Was that Treasurer Scott Sanson said he was up there when the eclipse happened up in Missouri and Kentucky? 17. Yeah, hey, it'll be interesting. And well, our best case scenario that goes off without a hitch. All right, any further comments or questions? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned.